Good morning. This is Steve Taylor, and I'm very thankful to have this opportunity to share God's Word with you this morning. I pray that the Lord will bless as we look at one of the beautiful Psalms that was written by David. I have to admit to you that the book of Psalms is probably one of, if not the most favorite book of the Bible for me. It's one I can identify with so many of them in such a way that oftentimes as you begin to read a particular psalm, you'll see that the writer was at a low point in his life. And as he began to write as God would instruct him to write, that you can just see his spirits, his vitality begin to lift up and to be encouraged in the Lord. And for that reason, I often resort back to the Psalms in order to lift my spirits up, to be able to bring me back to a place where that I can be glad in the Lord and rejoice in His Word and rejoice in His work. In this Psalm 27, David is writing a declaration of his faith, his love, and his commitment for the Lord. Psalm 27 is the one that I want to look at. There's about four or five verses in the psalm that I want us to pay particular attention to this morning. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit will bless into our hearts and minds the great, beautiful truths that's contained in this psalm. Verse 1, Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" It's so beautiful. Sometimes I find myself searching, grasping for words to try to express what I see in these particular verses. But one thing that jumped out at me just now as I was reading that verse of Scripture is the correlation of relationship that David was expressing. He's expressing the Lord, His omnipotence, His omniscience, His omnipresence, His authority, His power, His glory. And then he's expressing his life. And he blends those two together in relationship. He blends the Lord and my life. And the Lord is my light. That's that blending of relationship. He is my light. He is my salvation. It's a very personal matter. I think it's very important for us to understand that as we look at the Lord, as we look at His work, as we look at His doings, as we look at His Word, to understand that this is a very personal letter. Though David penned the words, it's a very personal letter from God, our Heavenly Father, the Lord of creation, the Lord of glory. It's a very personal letter from Him to me. Very personal letter from Him to you. And so as we read this, we say, well, yes, David, you said that concerning yourself. But if I could say it this way, even more importantly, is I'm reading this verse and I'm saying it about myself, and you can say it about yourself. The Lord is my light. He's my illumination. He is the one that in this world of darkness in which that we live, He is the source of light. He is the source of direction, of correction, of illumination. The things that we see that we can make somewhat sense of. It's the Lord revealing that to us, illuminating that into our hearts, into our minds. He's my deliverance. He's the one that gets me from morning to night, from night to morning, day after day, month after month, year after year. He is the one that has brought me safe thus far, as John Newton wrote in that beautiful, old, glorious hymn. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and His grace will take me through. He is my deliverance. So therefore, as He is mine, and I am His, whom shall I fear? He's the strength of my life. Therefore, whom shall I be afraid? David, as he was writing this, I'm wondering if he had in mind the day that he was facing that giant Goliath that had struck fear into the entire army of Israel, had struck fear into the hearts and minds of his brothers, had struck fear into the heart and mind of King Saul. And yet David, with the illumination, with the light of the Almighty God, went out against him to say, "My God will deliver you into my hand," talking to Goliath. "I'm not afraid of you, because God is with me." Yes, we live in a world of darkness. And Jesus himself, speaking concerning himself, he said, "Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." And that's still true today. We live in a world of darkness. Darkness that is all around us. And unless the Lord be our light, let's just be true about this. Unless the Lord be our light and our understanding, it's hard to make sense of what's going on in this world today. It's hard to make sense of the evil and the wickedness that we see openly, publicly, boldly displayed throughout our nation. It's hard to make sense of that. Men love darkness rather than light. And as Christians, we, I'm afraid, are becoming much too accustomed to the darkness. Have you ever gone into a restaurant, sat down, and the waiter, waitress comes, presents you a menu, says, "I'll be back shortly to take your order," and you open up the menu and it's so dark in there that you can't even read the menu. There's enough light in there to be able to walk around and get to the table, but to read the menu, it's so dark you can't read. But the longer you sit there in darkness, the more your eyes adjust to the darkness, and then you're able to see the menu and begin to read the menu. Is it possible that we as Christians have sat in the darkness of this world so much that our eyes have become adjusted to it, and things that once offended us, now we just kind of overlook it and say, "Well, that's just the way the world is"? It's not been that many years ago that when you heard a curse word on television, it shocked you. We aren't shocked as easily anymore. Men love darkness rather than light. We become adjusted to darkness. But that's not the way we're supposed to be. That's not the way we're supposed to live our life. That's not the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves. Paul, as he wrote to the church at Philippi, said, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God." We are children of God. We're children of the Most High. And our lives should reflect that, rather than becoming adjusted to the world. We are sons of God. And we are to shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Have we shirked our responsibility? Have we relinquished that obligation that we are to live our lives as children of God, that we are to live our lives as examples of the grace and mercy and love of God that's bestowed upon unworthy and undeserving sinners? Or have we become adjusted to the darkness? There's only one way that we can offset the darkness. And that's as Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, when he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I submit to you, we can't do it on our own. We need the strength and the power of God Almighty, of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to offset the darkness that's in the world." He said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Yes, we are to stand. Every night on the news, I see ungodly and wicked protest against that which is good. But listen, have we as children of God stood up against the wiles of the devil? Have we stood strong in the Lord? Have we stood faithful to His goodness, to His love, His mercy, and His grace? Have we stood against those things? Have we stood with that understanding and with that declaration that the Lord is my light? The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. And I'm going to stand strong in Him. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But we can stand strong in the power of the Lord. We can stand strong in His might. We can stand in the light of His Word. We can stand understanding with the deliverance that is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. For you see, as long as we are adjusted to the darkness, darkness promotes weakness. It may sound like it's judgmental, and probably is. But I'm afraid in the day that we live, the church has lost a lot of its power, if not most of its power. Because we've become content to live our Christianity within the four walls of the church meeting house. But once we go out into that world of darkness, we've become timid. We've become backward. We've become wayward. We've become adjusted to the darkness. We don't want to create waves. We don't want to cause waves. We don't want to make people uncomfortable. But can I tell you, they don't mind making us uncomfortable. Darkness promotes weakness. Light promotes strength. When we stand in the light of God's Word, and we're standing strong in Him and in the power of His might, then we can withstand those things, the wiles of the devil. But we must stand strong, understanding the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. If we can understand that, then down in going back to Psalm 27, verse 4, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. One thing have I desired. Now when he says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, he isn't saying I want to just go sit down in the church meeting house and just stay there 24 hours a day to be able to escape all the things that are going on in the world. No, that's not what he's saying. But rather he is saying that when he dwells in the house of the Lord, when he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord, he's talking about this temple, this building, this house, our bodies. Is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the temple of the Lord. And he says, I want to dwell in that place where that I have complete understanding, complete strength, complete deliverance, that God is my light, He's my salvation, He's my strength. I can stand strong in Him and in the power of His might. I can stand against the wiles of the devil. I can stand against the darkness of this world. I can be a light that's shining bright, holding forth the Word of God. I want to be there to behold the beauty of the Lord. You might say, well, we've never seen God. I've never seen Him with my eyes. I look forward to that day when I'll see Him face to face and see Him as He really is. But I'm going to tell you right now, I can behold the beauty of the Lord as I read His Word. As I see how that God has dealt with His people through the ages. I can see the beauty of those things that are there. You see, I've never seen Him physically. But listen, beauty has nothing to do with looks. Though when we see Him, His glory and His beauty is going to outshine anything we've ever could imagine. But beauty has nothing to do with looks. Beauty has everything to do with character. We've all seen people that we would say that they were pretty in their outward looks, but then their conversation, the things they talk about, the words that they use, just destroy that beauty as far as I'm concerned. Beauty is the result of character. And God, David says, I want to behold the character, the beauty of the Lord. And we do that by studying the life of Jesus. studying the Word of God. He says, I want to inquire in His temple. Those things that I don't understand, the things that are not illuminated for me, the things that I want to have more complete understanding concerning, I want to be able to inquire, Lord, what does this mean? How am I to respond? What am I to do? How am I to act? What am I to say? Where am I to keep my focus? When we inquire in His temple, what do we learn? I'm just going to share a few things with you. First of all, we learn that He's the Lord. All authority, all power, all glory, all wisdom. Everything that is good originates in Him. He's Lord. When I inquire in His temple, I learn that He's promised that He'll never forsake me. He'll never turn and walk away from me. He'll never turn His back upon me. When I inquire in His temple, I learn that His grace is sufficient for my every need. Whatever it is that I'm struggling with, whatever it is that I'm dealing with, whatever it is that I'm trying to find my way through, the grace of God is sufficient to see me through all of those things. Inquiring His temple, I learned that I can place complete confidence in Him. And I find that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So, when I am in verse 4, it says that I want the one thing that I desire, the one ultimate thing I desire is fellowship with my Lord, to inquire in His temple, to see His beauty. Verse 11, going down to verse 11, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I've come, Lord, to inquire. Now will you teach me? Will you show me? I confess to you my inability to understand. I confess to you my inability to see my way through. I confess to you my inability to have strength to pick myself up, to get my through this situation, to get through this darkness, to get through this time of struggle. Teach me, Lord. Teach me about yourself, about your grace, about your guidance. And lead me, Lord. Lead me in a plain path. Lead me in the direction that you would have me to be. Teach me, Lord, that I might learn to trust you. Trust is something that is learned, something that is earned, something that is experienced by following. For you see, as the writer of the Proverbs, Solomon, reminds us, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right, it seems good to our minds, as much as we can see our way through, as much as we can analyze a situation. This seems like the right way, but it's in darkness, so it leads us in a path of separation from fellowship with God. There is a way which seems right unto man, but then there is a way that is absolute right, and it is the way of the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we learn trust by following Jesus Christ, the way for our lives, the way for us to get through the struggles, to get through the hard times, to get through the valleys, to get through the shadows. We learn trust by following Him, even when we don't understand. Then in closing, Psalm 27, verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted unless I had believed. You see, Jesus did not promise to take away our struggles. Jesus did not promise to take away the valley times of our lives. Jesus did not promise to take away those things that would knock us down if we try to do them on our own. In fact, Jesus promised this, that in the world you shall have tribulation. You will have struggles. You will have heartaches. You will have times when you just don't understand, when you just don't see the way through. And unless we had believed that God's way is the right way, it would cause us to faint, to fall by the wayside. I had fainted unless I had believed. It's so important as we study the Word of God, as we learn that He's my light, as we learn He's my salvation, that we believe that is the absolute truth, and that we walk in the light of His Word, that we seek to obey Him, seek to walk side by side with Him, seek to understand that when we feel like we can't take another step, that Jesus is the one, the shepherd of our soul, who will bend down, pick us up, and carry us upon His shoulders. I had fainted unless I had believed that the grace of God is sufficient for my every need. I had fainted unless I had believed that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I had fainted unless I believed that I am to be as shining lights in this world of darkness, holding forth the word of life. I had fainted unless I had believed that my Father said, He'll never leave me and He'll never forsake me. I am to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. In all my ways I am to acknowledge Him, and He shall direct my paths. One thing have I desired, Lord, that I might seek Your way, that I might walk with You, that I might walk in the light of Your Word. I seek You, Lord. I need You, Lord. I want You, Lord. May You be the light that shines upon the path that I'm to travel. Lord, may I understand that the importance lies in obeying You as You guide me for Christ's sake. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer, and amen.